Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're shaping a think break switch up using macro controls creatively in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the advanced way, with purpose, with control, and with real arrangement impact. The goal here is not to slap random automation on a bass sound and hope it feels interesting. The goal is to make the bassline transform. You want it to move through a few distinct states, first locked and functional, then tense and filtered, then broken and syncopated, and finally back into a heavier return that hits harder because the contrast was earned. That is why this matters in drum and bass. The bass line is not just low-end weight. It often defines the groove, the tension, and the identity of the whole phrase. A good switch-up gives you that something just changed moment without needing a full breakdown. It works brilliantly in rollers, darker halftime leaning D&B, neuro-influenced tunes, and jungle-adjacent ideas where the break and bass relationship needs to feel alive, but still club-safe. So start with a bass line that already works with the drums. That part comes first. Don't build the macro trick before the groove is solid. Load or write a bass phrase that can survive a full drum loop on its own. Maybe it's a steady rolling pattern, maybe it's a call and response phrase with room around the snare. Either way, make sure the kick and snare already feel right before you start morphing anything. What to listen for here? Does the bass leave space for the snare on 2 and 4? And does the sub stay stable? Or does it blur into the kick? If the answer is no, fix that first. Macros will only make a weak groove more obvious. Now build your rack. Whether you're using an instrument rack for MIDI or an audio effect rack for printed audio, think in terms of three jobs: sub, movement, and edge. That's the whole game. Keep the sub stable and centered. Let the mids do the motion. Let the top layer bring attitude. A practical stock device chain in Ableton might be wavitable or operator for the main voice, then saturator for harmonic density, auto filter for tonal motion, utility for width control, and maybe a subtle echo or phaser flanger on the upper layer only. If you've already printed the bass to audio, you can use EQ8, saturator, auto filter, maybe a light redux or corpus if needed, and utility at the end to keep your mono discipline tight. Map your macros to useful performance controls. One macro for filter cutoff, one for resonance or filter drive, one for saturator drive, one for width on the upper layer only, one for the dry slash wet of a rhythmic effect or delay, one for a noise layer or pitch envelope depth, one for sub gain trim if needed, and one for output trim. The important part is this: do not let the sub become part of the switch-up movement. That's one of the fastest ways to wreck mono compatibility and weaken the kick relationship. Keep the low end anchored, and let the mid and high layers do the expressive work. Why this works in D&B is simple. The dance floor still gets the energy change, but the fundamental anchor remains readable. That's the difference between a switch-up and a low-end collapse. Before you automate anything, decide what the switch-up is actually for. Is it tension? Surprise? Read entry. Those are different emotional jobs. If you want tension, thin the bass, filter it, maybe break it apart for a couple of bars so the drop back in feels bigger. If you want movement, make the bass more chopped, more pitched, more syncopated, like a think break mutation that keeps the energy up but changes the rhythm. In a dense track, tension first often works best. In a track that needs more swing or more character, movement first can be the move. Now shape the core tonal motion. Your filter macro should not work alone. Pair the filter movement with drive, because a closing filter without added harmonics can make the bass disappear instead of transform. You want the bass to feel like it's compressing into something meaner, tighter, more focused, or opening into a brighter bite, not just fading out. A good starting point is a filter sweep that moves somewhere in the low hundreds of hertz up into the upper mids, depending on how open the original bass is. Keep resonance moderate. Add a few dB of saturator drive on the mid layer, not the sub, and if you're using any effect with a wet slash dry mix, keep it subtle unless you're deliberately printing a special moment. What to listen for? As the filter closes, can you still hear the bass on a small speaker? And does the added drive create aggression without flattening the groove? That's the sweet spot. Now comes the think break part. Create a second version of the bass phrase that is more broken, more stuttered, more syncopated than the main loop. If you're working in MIDI, duplicate the clip and edit the note lengths, start positions, and maybe a few octave jumps. If you're working from audio, slice the printed phrase into a few purposeful chunks and resequence them. A strong pattern is to keep bar 1 fairly close to the original, then add a gap or a little rhythmic pull in bar 2, maybe shorten notes before the snare, maybe leave space on the end of 2. In bar 3, add a pitch drop or an octave jump at the end of the phrase. Then in bar 4, Either return to the main groove or hand off to the drums and let the reset land. You can make this cleaner by creating two chains, one for the main roller bass, one for the broken switch-up version, then mapping a macro to fade between them. That gives you a very readable A/B motion, without wrecking the low end, and this is important. Stop if the broken version starts sounding like a different tune. The switch-up should feel like a mutation of the original bass line, not a random new patch. If the track needs a little more character, add one controlled edge layer, but keep it out of the sub. That could be a high-pass duplicate, some wave-eatable noise, a light saturator into auto-filter chain, or a tiny bit of redux for grit. Keep the edge layer narrow or only slightly widened above the core. Use a macro so it appears only during the switch-up, or so it punctuates the last hit of the phrase. This is where you make a decision. If the track is already busy, go narrower and more focused. If the arrangement is sparse, you can afford a little more stereo spread on the top. But remember, the sub stays mono. Always. Now write the automation across a real phrase. Two bars can work for a quick fake out or turnaround. Four bars is usually the best sweet spot for a proper switch up. Eight bars is more of a featured development section. For most DNB arrangements, four bars gives you enough time to change the emotion without killing momentum. Shape it like this. The first bar moves slightly. The second bar gets more obvious. The final beat gives you the most dramatic rhythm change or edge layer moment. Then snap back into the main bass stay, just before the next hit or snare. What to listen for? Does the phrase land in time with the snare and ghost notes? And does the automation create anticipation, or does it just make the bass feel busy? Real DNB switch-ups usually feel strongest when the middle of the phrase is the most unstable, then the final beat resolves decisively. That gives the listener a clear sense of movement and return. Before you commit, put the bass against the drums, not in solo, against the drums. That's where this either works or falls apart. Check the relationship between the kick transient and the sub-note onset. Check the snare impact and the bass gaps. Check whether your chopped notes are stepping on the backbeat. Check whether the top-end hats are fighting the new bass noise layer. If the switch-up is getting in the way, shorten some notes by a few milliseconds, nudge a chopped hit earlier or later, trim some high-mid distortion, or cut a little around the lower mids if it's getting boxy. A good result feels like the bass and drums are talking to each other. The bass can get more chaotic, but the kick and snare still need to read clearly. That hierarchy is everything. If the rack starts getting too clever, print it. Commit the best switch-up moment to audio and keep moving. This is a serious workflow move in advanced DNB sessions. Once you've found the mutation that works, render it, and then edit the audio directly. You can reverse a hit for a tiny pre-drop pull, shorten the last note to make the return hit harder, or re-EQ the printed audio so the switch-up sits behind the main drop layer. Often, printing a strong switch-up gets you to the finish line faster than endlessly refining an over-automated rack. Sometimes the smartest move is to stop tweaking and make the phrase real. Place the switch-up where it earns the most impact. A very common move is a 16-bar groove where the bass starts thinning in bars 13 to 16, then a short fill or break on the last beat, then a 2-bar switch-up phrase, then a hard return or a new variation. That keeps it DJ-friendly and phrase-readable, and that last part is important. Even when it gets wild, the listener should still feel the bar structure. That's what makes the section usable in an actual arrangement. The bass can mutate, but the grid should still make sense. If you want a darker, heavier result, here's a great pro move. Let the switch-up get narrower before it gets louder. A more focused, slightly nasal upper layer often feels meaner than just piling on more width or distortion. Also, tiny movements can hit hard in heavy DNB. A small filter move, a small drive change, a small density change at exactly the right moment can feel massive when it's rhythmically placed. Another strong trick is to make the switch-up duck in density instead of volume. Let it get thinner and more exposed for a second. Then bring the sub back in with full authority. That can feel more dangerous than just pushing everything harder. And if the bass identity is tied to a break-flavored texture, keep the top end disciplined. The bass should not steal the lane from your hats, ride, or snare crack. If it starts doing that, reduce the high shelf, shorten the effect tail, or narrow the layer again. Here's the key lesson today. The macros are not decoration. Each one needs a job. One for tonal shift, one for rhythmic density, one for edge, maybe one for return. If two macros are doing the same emotional work, the phrase usually gets messy before it gets heavy. Do a quick quality check in three contexts: solo bass, drums plus bass, and low volume playback. If it only sounds exciting when it's loud, it's probably too dependent on distortion or width. The best switch-ups still read when the volume is modest. So here's the recap. Start with a bass line that already works. Build a rack that separates sub, movement, and edge. Use macros to control tone, rhythm, and harmonic density with intention. Shape a broken second version of the phrase. Keep the sub mono. Check everything against the drums. Commit to audio if the rack becomes too complex. And make sure the return is decisive, because the snapback is what gives the switch-up its payoff.